At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
The tank is on, everyone. We expected a relatively quiet trade deadline and got the opposite as the Jets trade away their best two defensive players for a slew of picks, a couple of players in return. Will this be remembered as a franchise-defining day for Darren Mooji or the reason this regime is showing the door in a couple of years? Only time will tell for that. But welcome to Flight Plan. Tim McMaster here along with Zach Rosenblatt. Thanks for checking us out. If you're checking out the stream on YouTube, good to have the baggage handlers here. Give us a 5-star review. Tell us what you like. And in the comments right now, tell us what you think of these trades. I will say that across the board, it seems the Jets are getting high marks for the trades, but that doesn't necessarily make a fan base happy. But let's get into it, Zach. First off, fun day for you?
Man, another day in Jets. I was trying to think of the craziest days I've had on this beat. And I would say Robert Saleh getting fired is still number one just because that was like so shocking. And I was in Paris. So for selfish reasons, it was crazy. I think I would rank this number two. Aaron Rodgers getting injured, Achilles, was a crazy day. I think the days Diana and I were reporting that Zach Wilson was refusing to start was probably be in the top five, and I need to think of another one. But man, so today, my wife has been asking me to get my dog to the groomers for like weeks, and I finally just like got an appointment this morning. I'm like, they won't make anything, nothing will happen, like, you know, in the like 10 to 12 range. Right. I'm at a coffee shop while the dog's at my dog Maggie's at the groomer, and it's noon. I'm just about getting ready to go pick her up, and then the Sauce Gardner, first Sauce Gardner tweets, by the way, he tweets like, it's been real New York or whatever he said. And I'm like, I texted like four different people. I'm like, he's trolling, right?
Sauce, right? Breaking his own news.
Yeah. And then the news happens, and it's one of those kind of shocking news items where you have to triple check it to be like, that's a real tweet, right? Wait, that's like a real thing, right? And then you're sending texts and stuff. And so all of a sudden I'm sitting there for an extra hour, writing the initial story about Sauce. And I get in the car, speed to pick up my dog, speed to get home, poor, do my podcast with Connor. Yeah. And then while we're on the podcast with Connor, Quinton Williams gets traded, and then I'm just anticipating other trades also, which we'll get into. But yeah, you know, just another just absolutely crazy day. The Jets driving the news cycle, finding a way to do it at 1-7. Like, and there's nothing better in terms of like interest, like on a website or a news organization, than a shocking trade of a big name, I would say. And Sauce kind of hits both of those marks. And yeah, I mean, just this is another one of those days. You know, you and I have been doing this podcast, not this specific podcast, but podcasting together since the start of the 2022 season. We've had a lot of crazy things we've had to cover. Like, one day we should like just rank the crazy things. It's unfortunate we don't have Marissa because she'd be good at like pulling clips or something.
Well, we could bring her in for that one.
Yeah, let's hire her on for like a week or something. Or we'd love to have her back permanently, if I'm being honest. But anyway, a lot of crazy moments that we've covered. This is right up there with the craziest for sure.
Yeah, it certainly is. Let's get right into the trades. I was going to go a different direction. I completely lost my train of thought. So let's get right into it. First one, Sauce. So he goes to the Colts. Colts, man, they are going for it. Daniel Jones and the way they've played. And here we go. Two first round picks, 2026 and 2027, and wide receiver A.D. Mitchell, who was a second round pick just 2024, but obviously has kind of fallen out there in Indy. And if you look at the usage and stuff, they're really not throwing it to him at all. So he's kind of an extra piece for them. But, you know, just break down this trade first. you know, was Sauce disgruntled? Was there, what is the background here other than the Jets maybe just being blown around, away by two first round picks and a player?
I mean, I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. It was the offer, but I mean, it's, there's no other way to put it other than shocking. They just signed the guy to a contract, making him the highest paid corner per average per year, which was kind of a misnomer, which I'll get into in a second. But I mean, this is an elite cornerback. Like, you can, I know there are people that are, that had soured on him, but like, just take a step back and like, he's better than any cornerback the Jets have. And it's hard to get guys of that caliber. But at the end of the day, if he was as untouchable or as valued by this organization, they wouldn't have traded him at all. Like I've said this on, I was on WFAN a little bit before this. And I said, you know, the Broncos aren't taking calls on Patrick Surtain. And I'm not saying Sauce is as good as him because he's not, but he's close.
The Broncos are also a playoff team.
I know, but yeah, true. But like, even so, like, you don't, yeah, if you feel like a guy is like a guy you need to have on your team to be a contender, then you don't trade him, even if it's a blow you away offer. So what I would say is about this specifically and how it came together. So from what I understand, the Colts were calling around over the last few weeks to find cornerbacks, and they called the Jets about their cornerbacks, not just Sauce, like the other guys in the room too, I would say. But like, the mention of Sauce led the Jets to be like, look, we wouldn't even consider that unless you absolutely bowled us over with like a crazy offer. The Colts were like, okay. You know, you go throughout, I don't know how long of a process this was, but you get to this week, and as Muji said in his press conference, the offers just kept getting more significant and more significant, to the point where it was two first round picks, and they said, okay, now we're listening. And you know, I think it was actually the Jets that pushed to have Adonai Mitchell in the trade, the wide receiver. They didn't want to do it unless they were able to get like another young player in return, especially at a position that they need. And so they got a guy who was drafted in the second round last year. He's had his ups and downs. He had a Malachi Corley moment this year where he let the ball go before he reached the goal line. But he's a guy with some intriguing size and speed. And I think last year he was among the league leaders in open score, meaning he gets open as much as anyone. Anyway, that's not the important part of this trade. The important part is they traded away Sauce Gardner. And, you know, the combination of trading away him and Quinnen, you just traded away two of your cornerstone players. And so the Sauce one in particular feels more like the white flag to this season. While also, you know, it's such an interesting one to talk about, because it's hard to turn down multiple first round picks for anybody, especially non-quarterbacks. Like, there's not many. Jamal Adams is one of them. There's not many non-quarterbacks that go for multiple first round picks. But the flip side of that is, when you're drafting in the first round, you're trying to get somebody of Sauce Gardner's caliber. So, right.
So are you going to go two for two with these first round picks? And
yeah,
they're not, I mean, this year it's going to be low first round. I mean, it's still a first round pick, but it's going to be like, 25 or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, the Colts are already going to be in the top four in the AFC, and they just got significantly better. So I would think that would be a good pick. The one next year maybe is the more valuable one, the 27 pick. But yeah, you know, that's, you know, they need a hit on these picks. You can say, okay, you don't need a hit on all of them. You're getting more bites of the apple. That's all true. And the reality actually is, if they use these picks to get the franchise quarterback and they actually get him and he pans out, then it was all worth it. And you're like, okay, you trade Sauce Gardner, you trade Quinnen Williams. If you're saying I'm trading Quinnen and Sauce and I get a franchise quarterback out of it, you take that trade ultimately. Like, I know it seems like a lot, but the Jets, the biggest reason the Jets have not won is they have not had good enough quarterback play. They've had a lot of other issues, certainly, but they had an elite defense with Quinnen and Sauce Gardner for 2 or 3 years, and it didn't amount to anything. And I don't think, and I think it's unfair for people who have pointed out, like, well, they weren't winning with them, so why does it matter if they're trading them away? Well, it's a team sport, and they aren't the reason why they were losing. They didn't ultimately contribute to a winning team. But like, if you're blaming Quinnen Williams for the fact that he hasn't made the playoffs since being drafted in 2019, you're completely leaving out that Adam Gase and Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich and Aaron Glenn so far were his coaches. Like, they're, and a lot of all the other issues they had. So I think that's ridiculous. You want blue chip players. Sauce Gardner is a blue chip player. I will say that forever. Like, at the moment they're trading him, he's a blue chip player. We'll see what happens in Indy. It's going to be interesting to see how people
reflect on his career. He's going to intercept a pass next week. Yeah. And Jets fans are going to be like, what?
Yeah, that's so true. that's a good jumping off point, actually, with him, because I feel like so often people focused with him on the things he wasn't doing, which was intercepting passes, and he was kind of struggling to tackle. And he wasn't great at like taking accountability for himself, I would say. But they weren't focusing on the fact that he almost never was getting thrown at because of how good he was doing. He led the NFL in snaps per reception this year. He was like ninth in snaps per target. He was in the top 10 of both of those last year, basically saying that he's not thrown at very often. And when he is, he doesn't allow catches most of the time. There's some egregious moments where he's allowed a touchdown or a long catch this year, but ultimately he still is having a pretty good year. And now you do not have a shutdown cornerback on your roster. You can say, oh, I'm high on Azaria Thomas's potential. Brandon Stevens has been playing well. Jarvis Brownlee has been playing well. None of them are shutdown corners. So, and that's a premium position, and you just traded the guy away. So now you need to find the replacement for him, whether it's Azaria or you have to draft somebody else, or you have to sign somebody else. But you had the guy in the building, and now he's not. So, you know, I'm not ready to call this a win or a loss as a trade. I'm very intrigued by it, and I see the thinking of it, but that doesn't make it any less shocking, and I don't know that I personally would have done it. But as time's gone on, I've like warmed up to it more, just because, you know, two first-round picks, and especially the 27 draft class, everybody seems to say is going to be pretty elite top to bottom talent-wise. So I get why they did it. I'm shocked. You sign a guy in the summer and you trade him in the fall is pretty crazy.
They will have three first-round picks in that 2027 class, because that's the first-rounder that comes over for Quinnen, along with a second-rounder this year, and Mazi Smith, who's a first-rounder in 2023. So it is interesting that the players they got back in these trades, while they have not been great at the NFL level, they were highly drafted players. So, you know, when you think of that, you think, hey, the tools are there, or the skill set's there, or maybe there's something you can unlock, because obviously coming out of college, there was a thought that this was a player that was going to be very good.
Yeah, that's the thought process the Jets have here with those guys. And it's kind of the same with the Michael Carter trade last week, where they got John Mechie from the Eagles. He was a second-round pick in 22. Adonai Mitchell is a second-round pick last year. Mazi Smith was a first-round pick in 23. That kind of goes in line with the moves they made in the offseason too, trying to get like guys that had some draft pedigree or have shown flashes of potential. And especially now in a lost season, you might as well take a flyer on these guys that clearly recently teams viewed them as talented players, and in their other spots, they were not able to unlock it. Have the Jets shown that we should trust that they can unlock it? I'm not sure they have yet. And that's the biggest question you can have going forward about all these new draft picks coming into is, do the Jets have the infrastructure in place to develop talent at the degree that they're going to have to over the next 2 years? Like, this is all development now. And so that's what you get with Mazi Smith in particular. Like, you just got rid of Quinnen Williams, the most dominant, impactful player on your defense, in my opinion. And you don't have a ready-made dominant guy to replace him. So, you know, if he can emerge as a quality player and you at least have quality defensive tackles, that's good. But, you know, I think Quinnen made life easier for Will McDonald. He made life easier for Jermaine Johnson. We're going to find out what these guys are made of now, because Quinnen was the one getting double and triple teamed. Other guys were not. Nobody in that defensive tackle room is getting double or triple teamed now. So that leaves more blockers to go to the outside and block Jermaine Johnson and block Will McDonald. And so, and not only that, but Quinnen, you know, I'm not the first one to say this at this point, and it's been reported all day by me, Connor, other people. Like, Quinnen was unhappy. He wanted to be traded. He told a lot of people close to him that. I think the Jets met with him at some point and didn't say that, look, we're never going to trade you. I think it was more of a, you know, we value you and we want you here, but like, if somebody blows us away, like, it's on the table. Like, I think they were honest with these guys. And I think they had the same conversation with Jermaine Johnson, who was pretty heavily involved in trade discussions. I think teams were interested in him, but weren't willing to trade what they needed for him. But anyway, Quinnen kind of deserves a chance to go somewhere else at this point. Like, he's been through a lot here. He's been through a lot of losing, and he remained as beloved. And that, like, I have this in my story that's coming out in the morning. I talked to Harrison Phillips. I was going to do a story on Quinnen Williams, and I just haven't had a chance to do it because the season kind of got away from, actually, Sauce Gardner too, to peel back the layers of the onion a little bit. I was in Detroit this summer. I went to his high school and talked to people close to him, and the season just got so out of hand that I haven't had a chance to write it yet. Now he's gone. So that'll sit on the, that'll sit in the drafts for a while. And then Quinn and I was going to write something about just how he's, you know, remained steady in the middle of this, the storm that's been around him all this time. And Harrison Phillips, I asked about, I asked him about Quinnen Williams, and he said, you know, out of, you know, the 10 or 12 guys I think that I've played with that will make the Hall of Fame one day, I would rank Quinnen Williams number one or two in terms of the kind of person he is. And so, like, that's the amount of respect he has in that locker room, even while he's very openly unhappy. And so they're going to miss him. It's a big loss. But at the end of the day, that's a, you know, divorce that was probably going to happen in the offseason anyway. And so I completely understand doing it now. I was told they were asking, they wanted way more than that to even consider it. They wound up backing off on that. I think the Cowboys being the team they traded with is notable because they're not good this year. Like, I think they've gotten
pretty interesting.
They've gotten pretty universally bad grades for this trade because the Cowboys, as of right now, are not making the playoffs. Their chance of making it is pretty low, like percentage wise. And so that also put their odds of being bad in 2027 pretty high. So it could be a high second round pick this year and potentially a high high first round pick in 27. For a player in Quinnen Williams that's getting older, closer to 30, as time goes on, he won't be in his prime anymore. So I think that trade you can call a win, even if they're going to miss him at the end of the day.
We're going to get into Breece Hall in a second and the guy who wasn't traded, right? But first, the fascinating thing about the way this all lines up to me is you have two first-rounders coming up in 2026. One of them, I mean, very likely could be the number one pick, right? Like, the Jets are in that position now. They just got significantly worse as a football team. And then 2027, you have three first-round picks. You just said it, the Cowboys one could be good. Who knows about the Colts? I can't imagine a world where the Jets pick isn't top five, right? Like, after all this, who knows? But you think quarterback, right? You have to get your quarterback. You have to get your quarterback. You're going to be in a position to take any quarterback you want next spring with the number one pick. And then all these other first round picks are they're just extra. Like, what else can we get to build a young nucleus on this team? Or if you have somebody in mind, Arch Manning, the next year, you could either trade that number one overall pick to get more, maybe another first round pick to add into the pile, or you could take, you know, a key other player to set up the offensive line for when you take the quarterback. But you could roll the dice and kind of kick it forward and say, no, we're not going to get that quarterback until 2027, because even if we don't have the number one pick, we're going to have the picks that we can move up and get them. It'll just be fascinating to see the direction they go. And I guess it'll depend on how they grade these players that are coming out this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing Muji was emphasizing in his press conference was flexibility. This gives them flexibility, and that's true. The question I have is, like, can you afford to, like, I've seen a lot of discussion around whether they can kick the can down the road another, like, to 2027, a quarterback like you're talking about. But, like, I don't know. Like, that seems risky to me, especially if next season, you can't plan on a season going terribly, but what if you're not the one making that pick at the end of the day? So I don't know. Part of the conversation is going to be, number one, how do you feel about these quarterbacks in this draft class? Like, do you think Fernando Mendoza, or if Dante Moore comes out, or if the kid from Alabama, if you love him, like, do you view, and if the Jets are in position to draft them, whether they're first or second or third or whatever it is, like, do you feel like this is the guy that we can build around? Is there somebody that comes available on the trade market or that's not available that you can do a Godfather offer and go get them? They have the assets to do that while still having draft picks left over. That's also true. Or is there somebody, or you do not feel like any of these guys are worth it this year and you want to kick the can down the road again in 2027? I lean towards them drafting a quarterback in 26. This is going to be something that I'm going to be writing a lot about over the rest of the season and in the off season. Like, we're going to be having Dana a lot of podcasts
next week.
Yeah, honestly, we probably have to at this point. Maybe just shuffle in different draft analysts. Get Connor Rogers in another week, and Nick Baumgartner another week, and get Will Parkinson back in here. They have a lot of paths they can go, and it's going to be on. That's where the pressure is going to lie on Darren Muji. He put the target on his back by doing these deals. Aaron Glenn is very involved in all the decisions, and what it comes down to is he going to make the right draft picks? Is Aaron Glenn going to develop these players, these quarterbacks, and is he going to coach them up to be in position to win football games? And so far, we don't know that they're going to be able to do either of those things. You know, the evidence from this season isn't amazing, though it wasn't like an all-in season. Even if, you know, they wanted to tell us it was they're trying to win now, it's very clear that they are not anymore. And so now we have to find out what this regime is made of. And I think, you know, with Aaron Glenn, the rest of the season, the big question is, are these guys going to still fight for him, or are they going to give up because they've given up on the season, it looks like. So, you know, that's going to be the biggest thing for me, like not the results at the end of the games. It really is going to be the moral victories is unfortunately what it's going to be. Like, are they going to have competitiveness? Are they going to fight? Are they going to stay in these games? And are the players going to look like they give a shit? Or are they going to give up? Are guys going to all of a sudden start popping up on the injury report with, oh no, is Breece Hall going to be like, well, I'm going to be a free agent. Oh no, I'm sore. I can't play this week. Like, is that going to happen? That's going to be very interesting to me.
For Muji and Glenn, it's interesting because they're obviously not, I mean, we've said it many times, right? Not on the hot seat yet. Aaron Glenn, not on the hot seat. Like, no way he gets fired at the end of this year. This is interesting because it almost, like, in one way, maybe it resets the clock for that regime, right? Because you're like, hey, we had some players, but we don't anymore. But that's a part of the plan, Woody. This is all part of our plan to get all these draft picks together, create a young, great nucleus, and this is going to be what we do. And like, but it's going to be a couple years or 3 years until you see, you know, the fruits of our labor. Or because of these trades and what you just said, maybe the team goes the other way. This team goes 1-16. And like, I don't know, can Woody deal with that? Like, it's obviously those conversations were had. I'm sure like Muji doesn't do this without like talking to the owner. But it's just interesting to me, like what this does for Glenn and Muji and their tenure here. And like, does it guarantee them more time, or does it really put the pressure on even more right away?
Yeah. I mean, the only person that knows the answer to that is Woody ultimately. But I don't think they make these moves unless they feel confident they're going to have the chance to see this through. You know, they in theory are doing everything the right way. They're thinking about 3 years from now instead of right now, which the Jets have not been good at for a long time.
Right.
So, you know, it's very conceivable they finish this season with 1, 2, or 3 wins. Does that mean you go into the next season and Aaron Glenn feels like he's on the hot seat if Darren Muji feels like he's on the hot seat? And do they start acting in ways that people on the hot seat do, which is start trading away assets and trying to get players to help you win now and things like that? Like, we're going to find out pretty quickly. But I think they feel confident enough that they're willing to trade away Sauce Gardner, that they're going to be here for that 2027 draft. And again, everybody says that draft is apparently loaded, quarterback, wide receiver, all that stuff. So if they feel like, you know, this offseason, by the way, they're going to have like over $80 million in the cap space. So Darren Muji's going to have a roster in his image. Aaron Glenn's going to have a roster in his image, and the pressure's on them to figure it out. And, you know, I guess we can use that to segue to the Breece Hall and Quincy Williams of it all. And whether they're going to be a part of it, because that's a part of the conversation right now for sure.
Yeah. So Breece said, hey, trade me too. And they didn't. So, which makes you, I mean, there's no reason not to, right? Like, if you can get, we had talked about like a third rounder, but if you can maybe get a fourth, like, it's pretty clear, I think, that the offer just wasn't there for Breece Hall.
Yeah. So they wanted a third round pick for him was, you know, so Darren Muji, just to backtrack for a second, he said today, and I've gotten some more details about this since, like, his process for trade value is starting in week 4, he would meet with his staff and he'd lay out the value for each player in the mind of the staff and factoring in, you know, production, contract, what they feel their value is in terms of draft picks. And they would check back in on that each week. They would update it based on how they felt, or they would look back at it just to make the idea being like, they didn't want to make any rash decisions. So let's say the Jets are 1-7. They didn't want it to feel like, okay, well, we're going to just sell off players now for, you know, whatever we can get for them. Well, no, we're going to sell them off for, we have this line of value for them. So for Breece, that's a third round pick. And they did not get that offer at the end of the day. They might have gotten a fourth round pick offer. I can't say that for sure. There was definitely interest. At the end of the day, they decided, you know, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze in terms of trading him. I get the impression that Breece would not have been upset if he was traded based on his activity on social media and just some rumblings you hear. And I think there was a report that he maybe even asked for a trade or told people he wanted to be traded. You know, that's going to be one to keep an eye on in terms of whether this regime deserves to get criticized, because if they're keeping him for the rest of the season, a lost season where nothing's going to happen, this isn't Saquon level, because Saquon was the face of the Giants franchise. But if you just let him walk for nothing in the offseason, it's fair to criticize the Jets. And everybody talks comp picks, comp picks, comp picks. Number one, I would guess Breece doesn't get any more than 10 to 12 million a year, like it probably in the or 14 at most, which would be around what James Cook and those guys got. And if you look at comp value, the projection on over the cap, and they're usually pretty spot on with the stuff. So they have Brandon Stevens projected for a fifth round pick next year, comp pick wise for the Ravens. The Jets signed him for 12 or 13 million a year. I think Breece will probably come in around that range. So you're probably getting at most a fifth, maybe a fourth for Breece Hall in a comp pick, but you don't get that until 2027, by the way. So just letting him go and say, oh, we'll just get a comp pick anyway. Like, I don't think it's that simple. And it also gets balanced out by if the Jets sign a bunch of free agents who are eligible for comp picks and they spend the money, that knocks those draft picks away. So like the Jets didn't get a draft pick for Bryce Huff because they signed Javon Kinlaw kind of thing. So, you know, that's kind of how it works. And they have the money and they're going to need a lot of guys on this roster. So I don't think they're going to get a significant comp pick, if any, for Breece Hall. It's possible, number one, they would be interested in re-signing him, or number two, franchise tagging him. I wouldn't do that personally. I wouldn't say they're not interested in that based on what I've heard. I wouldn't say they're definitely going to do it either. But, you know, I don't know that Breece Hall is definitely going to want to re-sign. So, you know, that's one that, and Quincy Williams also, maybe even more than Breece Hall. Like Breece, I could see a case for them wanting to have him back next year. He's a good running back.
If you do give him the franchise tag, you're just setting yourself up to be in the same spot, right, where you're trading him next year.
Exactly. Yeah. Which maybe that's what they want to do. So because they view him, maybe they can get more for him next year or something like that. The Quincy one, I would have just traded him away, honestly, unless they really feel like he's a part of the defense and they want to re-sign him. I think they wanted a fourth for him. They probably didn't get that offer, I would guess. It's hard to trade guys who are in the last year of their contract. A lot of times is also part of the issue. I just can't envision them paying him what he might be seeking, if he's seeking in the range of Jamie and Sherwood, who he is better than. So are you going to pay two linebackers $15 million a year, or would you trade Jamie and Sherwood and sign Quincy to the same contract? Like, I just don't see those scenarios happening. So I don't see him coming back next year. Quinnen's gone, his brother, another factor. So, you know, I feel like he's maybe likely to walk. So I didn't get those. I get not trading Jermaine Johnson, like out of the three guys that were getting the most buzz that weren't traded in the end. Jermaine's under contract for only like 12 or 13 million next year. He's a really good player. He's an emotional leader. He wants to be here. So I get that. I mean, Connor reported they were offered a second round pick. I haven't heard that myself. If that was true, I maybe would have done that. But I also don't blame them at all for keeping him regardless, because I think he's a core piece. But the Breece and Quincy ones are going to be something we're going to be tracking this offseason, and we're going to see what happens even during the season. Like, is Breece, does he get through the season healthy? Does he continue producing like he did the other day? And that's all going to play into it. So that's all part of the future part of this. Like, do they view those guys as part of the future? If not, why didn't you trade them?
Sauce Gardner signed the big deal, said he wanted to be here. Went ahead and signed that contract. The other guy that did the same exact thing was Garrett Wilson, who has said all the right things, and you've said it, has become a leader on this team. How does this impact Garrett? Because Garrett had to be thinking when he signed the deal, you know, by 2026, we're going to be competitive. I believe in this team and where we're heading. And now, I mean, we can get to that after it, but it feels like competitiveness is maybe 2027. Is that something that Garrett Wilson is not happy that he signed up for?
Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, I can't imagine Garrett's going to be thrilled about the direction of the team this year, because he's a highly competitive person and wants to win badly, and he deserves it. He played at Ohio State, where they don't lose very often. You know, this actually is a point I brought up earlier that I want to circle back to. So it's a good transition, but like the contract. So the contract they signed for Garrett and Sauce were similar in like the totals, but like if you like break them down, they were quite different. And Darren Mooji, I thought it was fascinating today when he was talking about the Sauce trade, how and the contract, how they structured it in a way that would allow them to trade him eventually if the opportunity arose. So basically they signed him the way that it was signed. There wasn't a lot of guaranteed money. I think Sauce was maybe a little too focused on wanting to be the highest paid corner in terms of average per year, which is kind of a misnomer because it's what matters is guaranteed money and bonuses. And so they're not really going to have a lot of dead cap outside of the signing bonus and his guaranteed salary from this year that they're going to be really eating. So that's why it was easier to trade him. Whereas Garrett's was, had significantly more guaranteed money, going to be harder to trade him. And that's because the Jets did not want to trade him. And I don't think he's going to be demanding a trade or anything like that. And I think the reason why when teams called on Garrett, which they did, especially once Sauce was traded, I think teams were like, oh, can we just like, you know, keep picking at this carcass? Can we keep picking at this Jets carcass and try and get every last bit of talent that they have? And the Jets were like, we're not interested in trading him. And it kind of goes back to what we've alluded to a bit with the quarterback stuff. You want this to be an environment that a rookie quarterback can come into and he's going to be in position to succeed. And they have the pieces to be that. You know, they have an offensive line that I think is going to be solid. They at least have three guys on that offensive line I feel good about. And Olu, Membu, and Joe Tippmann. And then you could decide what you want to do with, you know, John Simpson and AVT. You have, in theory, a running back in Breece Hall. You have a tight end in Mason Taylor. And you have a number one wide receiver in Garrett Wilson. That's a better situation getting walked into than Sam Darnold or Zach Wilson had. Sam Darnold in particular is the notable one because Zach Wilson, I don't know that it was ever going to be good. Sam Darnold had a terrible situation he walked into. Now, coaching staff needs to be the right one also, and we don't know that they are yet. But Garrett Wilson, the reason why he's not going anywhere and why they're going to keep building around him is because they need a number one receiver for that quarterback whenever he shows up. So they need to do a better job of building that receiver room around him. It's pretty bad right now. Even you add A.D. Mitchell, you add John Mechie. There's a reason.
I mean, is A.D. Mitchell their number? He's probably not their number two.
I mean, he might be. I mean, the rest of the season, like, why not? Yeah. I mean, Josh Reynolds is on IR.
Injuries. Yeah.
So the other guys are Tyler Johnson, Arian Smith, and Alan Lazard. By the way, I tweeted this. Like, I did not have on my bingo card Alan Lazard outlasting Sauce Gardner with the Jets. Like, what a world. Like, we just assumed he was gone this offseason, and he's still trucking along without his buddy here. So. But yeah, Garrett, he'll be a Jet, you know, maybe, you know, clearly Darren Mooji showed that no cow is sacred in this organization. Like anybody is tradable for the right price. As Bill Parcells once said, like I'd trade my wife for the right price or the right offer or whatever it was. He said that to Aaron Glenn back in the day, which funnily enough, Aaron Glenn was about to say that the other day and stopped himself, but it became very
smart, true. Smart move.
Yeah.
So when you look at this roster, I mentioned this, but when you look at this roster, the way it is now you're going to throw in a couple first round picks, but you know, rookies have their growing pains. I'm just trying to look to Nick because this year's lost, right? Obviously they're bad. And now like I'm a fan, I'm kind of embracing the tank at this point, because like I said, if you can get that quarterback number one this year, it just sets you up so well with all these other first round picks. If the right guy is there and you take him. But like, can this team be competitive next season? Like with the $80 million, two first round picks, the roster they have right now, like, is there a way that this team can be competitive a year from now?
Can they be? Yes. But I'm skeptical, like I think you are, based on the question that they will be,
I'm willing to give this front. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like Mooji kind of impressed me today.
Yeah.
Like I think if you're going to turn around a franchise with this history, you got to do bold stuff. And that's what he did. You know, you think back, like obviously the famous one is like Herschel Walker and the Cowboys. Now they got like seven first rounders or whatever of that was a different NFL back then, but like, you know, there are examples throughout the NFL history of like teams making these big moves, stockpiling the picks, nailing the picks, and bam, you have a huge competitive window, and he's taken the shot. So I'm impressed, but we'll see what happens.
I'd say trader Darren has been impressive. Like, I think the trades he's made have been generally impressive. Again, I think it's TBD on the Sauce trade. I'm still kind of in shock about it, frankly. but, you know, we're going to find out if Azaria Thomas has the ability to be a starting corner. If he is, then you're in pretty good shape there. But, yeah, you know, in terms of next year, I don't know. I'm skeptical. I mean, you just traded your two best defensive players for a defense that is not very good already right now. You don't have a quarterback, and you're kind of going to be mixing and matching a wide receiver the rest of this season. We don't know who they're going to bring in there. You need defensive tackle. You need linebacker, probably, especially if Quincy leaves. You need safeties. Andre Sisco's out for the year, by the way. That happens to their last pod, and he's a free agent anyway. And they don't. And Malachi Moore, I think, has shown some talent, but I think he struggled a bit. The offensive line, you only have 3 out of 5 guys that are locks to return. Breece Hall, we don't know if he's coming back. Like, they have a lot of holes to fill. And are they going to do it all in free agency? I don't think Muji is a type of GM that's going to do like a Patriots type spending spree where he signs like 10 veterans to start immediately. I just don't think that's in his repertoire from what I've conversations I've had with him and about him. So I'm just very curious to see what the team looks like next year. And I think a lot of it's going to be banked on Aaron Glenn believing in his ability to develop these guys and get them ready to win earlier than expected. Like, I think the goal would probably be, you know, like Aaron Glenn likes to compare to the Lions times. In 21, they were bad. They were competitive. The next year, they started off like 1-5, and then they finished 9-8. Like, I think that's the goal is probably to finish in the 7-9 win range next season. I know fans are
well, we've always said that this roster had more talent than the roster they had in Detroit. I'm not sure that's still true.
Yeah. They still, that first year, they still might have more. It's a fair debate, honestly. They did just trade their two best guys. Yeah, that's the thing. They're going backwards talent-wise as opposed to the Lions who were going forward. So, again, these draft picks are going to be the key. You're going to need these two first-round picks to step in as starters right away. You're going to need some free agents to hit. A lot of their free agents haven't hit. Their rookies, I think I've been higher on this rookie class than a lot of people. I think Membo is a core piece. I think Mason Taylor looks really, really good. Mm-hmm. TBD on AZ Thomas, TBD on Malachi Moore, TBD on Kiko Maui Goa. But those first two guys, I think, are going to be core pieces. So we'll see. But yeah, it's going to be on this staff, this coaching staff. Like, this is all on them. Like, they're putting it all on themselves. They're getting rid of the guys from the last regime. They've completely gotten rid of all the big names. Garrett Wilson's the last big name standing. Like, even beyond Aaron Rodgers, you get rid of Davante Adams, you get rid of, you know, Morgan Moses is gone, and I'm blanking on all the names. I mean, Tyler Conklin, DJ Reed, and like all these guys, they jettisoned from the last team and didn't want them back, and they're trying to put their stamp on this organization. And a lot of these moves they've made at the deadline before the season were logical, but you need to hit some home runs, and we haven't seen any home runs yet.
Should we mention Jasir Taylor before we say goodbye?
Oh, Jasir Taylor, who I definitely heard him for today.
I'm sorry, I didn't get
his name wrong. I mean, you might have said it right.
Conditional 7th-round pick. Give us your scouting report.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched so much Jasir Taylor tape. Like, it's crazy. I mean, how much
they beat.
But so I did. I dug into him very briefly. Looks like he's more of a nickel. So I think my guess is, you trade Michael Carter II, which I can't. Have we been on the pod since they traded?
No, we haven't, actually. Oh. Yeah, we haven't.
I mean, everybody has their opinions on that already. Nothing new to add there. But so you get rid of him. Jarvis Brownlee elevates to the full-time starter. Now you need a backup at the nickel. So I'm guessing that's what this is. He's young. He's, let's see, 26. He's from Asbury Park, actually. So New Jersey kid coming home. He's a guy that probably the pro personnel department had their eye on. And, you know, what I want to see and what I think and hope we will see the rest of the season is just give all the playing time to the young guys who are going to be here. Mm-hmm. Like, cut Alan Lazard. As Joe likes to say, he's an empty jersey at this point. He doesn't even give full effort. Play A.D. Mitchell. Play John Mechie. Play Arian Smith. See what you have there. Play Jelani Woods. Play Malachi Moore and A.Z. Thomas and Kiko Maui Goa and Jasir Taylor. Like, play all the young guys. Just trial by fire. See what you have. Develop them. So when you go into next season, you have a better idea of if these guys are keepers or not, and then if you have to keep rebuilding. So it's going to be a not-so-fun game recap pod the rest of the season. I would say the games
I mean, to be frank, it hasn't been a lot of fun.
No
game recaps anyway.
It has not.
At least now we can dissect.
I guess at least we go into these games now knowing they do not matter, I would say. Yeah. So finding angles for my game stories, which I take a lot of pride in my ability to write game stories, and I try to find interesting angles. They're really going to test my talents as a writer the rest of the season in terms of writing about the games. But I'm going to do my best, and we're going to do our best to pod and keep it interesting. We're going to talk about the future a lot. We'll get Dana on. We'll get Connor on. We'll get Joe on. Maybe we'll get Diane on one of these days.
We're going to get everyone out there who has an opinion on these college quarterbacks.
I might just find a guy in the street and ask him if he has any opinions about college quarterbacks and just bring him on. So, but you know, exciting day, crazy day. I'm ready for bed. I've been going nonstop since noon. Like literally as I was logging on for this, I was turning in my story. That's going to come out in the morning. I did two podcasts with Connor today, which is too many. I went on WFAN. I went on Pix 11. I got asked to go on Michael Kay's show immediately after the trade. I was like, I would love to come on and talk with you guys, but like the trade just happened, so I can't. And that's kind of what happens on days like this where you're getting pulled in a million different directions. But it also is kind of an adrenaline rush, and it's part of why I love this job. But I also am very ready for bed, so I feel like we can wrap up there probably.
Yeah, let's say goodbye. Great stuff, Zach. Thanks for giving us kind of the inside perspective on all of it. You're right. It's going to make for a rough second half of this season, but it is fascinating, just all the layers of it and what it's going to mean for this franchise going forward, what it means for this regime and Aaron Glenn and Darren Mugey, and never a dull moment. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. Big crowd tonight. I don't know if it's it's probably because of the trade, but I think prime time too. It's nice to hit the prime time audience every once in a while. So if you were listening and watching us for the first time, make sure you subscribe, tell your friends and all that stuff. And we will be back early next week with a recap of the next Jets game. We'll make it interesting. Thanks everybody.